Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema with you guys on a Fan Friday. And Trevor, football returned last night, man. What a great day. It always
is. It was glorious.
Oh,
it was glorious.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And not only that, got to see several of the rookies that I thought I was highest on leading up to the draft. You know, first action, Hall of Fame game. Most starters aren't playing. But, you know, Blaine Gabbert is the Hive back, man. Jeez. I mean, he played well. Is there a quarterback competition in Arizona? Your thoughts, your column.
My thoughts. Yeah, the comeback tour fully on. They should somebody should make him a franchise quarterback before Kaepernick.
Dolphins going to trade for him, yeah, over Kaepernick. And then we're going to have Gabbert over Kaepernick again.
The Dolphins are about to sell the farm
Can you imagine?
For Blaine Gabbert. Yo, speaking of, you said the thing about the starters. I just got to ask you, if you were an NFL coach, how do you feel about playing starters for
like
preseason
never.
Games?
Like never.
Okay.
I saw your tweet the other day. Yeah, that's how I've always said. Like, I would play him some in like the second and third games, maybe. I would play him for like two drives, maybe. Because I think they need some reps.
If you're a rookie, I get it. If you're a vet, because like people are saying like, oh, well, they need time for this and that. Dude, they practice for a month and a half, okay? And I get that like you're not going up against the other competition. But if you're a vet, you know what it's like. It's not like week one's going to come around and you're just going to like be like, oh, wow, this is what football is like. No, you've played it for a year, years, whatever it is, and you've had time to gel. I just don't. The violent nature of football and the risk that you put your players at every time you step on the field, those little, especially with veterans, if you put them in for one or two drives and you're putting them in for one or two drives against a defense that is also just trying to not get hurt. Like, what are you proving? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just totally against playing starters in the preseason.
I
don't think Bruce Arians played a single starter last night. I was fully for it.
Right, yeah. No, I can.
That's my take there.
Like I said, I would play them a couple drives to get them gelling together, but that would be, like, in the whole preseason, but that would be it. Like, I don't care. You know, and some guys, I probably wouldn't even care about it. Like, Ben Roethlisberger, if he plays two drives in game three, he's been around, it's not going to be an issue. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you, man.
I think too that something they could think about or look into is, you know, if quarterbacks are in the pocket or behind the line of scrimmage still, like, you know, don't tackle them in preseason. Get there, wrap them up. I don't know what to do. But I mean,
but then how could the NFL charge full price for a ticket then?
Yeah, that's a good point. They could. It's all about the buck.
I hate that, by the way.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Sorry. I just wanted to ask you.
Yeah. No. And Buda Baker was out there making plays last night. That's what the fun
your,
of the preseason.
Your boy.
My boy. Yes. Man, I love the way he plays. I mean, he was in for like a quarter and a half or so. I don't know, something like that. He made like two tackles for loss. He had a pass breakup. He closed on a ball real quick and hit the guy right before the first down marker. And made a real sure tackle. He made several tackles. He's outstanding. And Reddick even played like
it's fun
pretty well, you know. Rico Gaithers?
Yeah. No, I thought. Wait, what did you say?
Did you see Rico Gaithers at all?
Yeah, I saw that first. I saw that first drive there. Yeah.
Yeah, what a great catch! And he was a guy that it was. If people were wondering last night or thinking about it, it was impossible for me to scout Gaither. I mean, he didn't have any tape, so it was like. I mean, his testing numbers look good. I take a chance on guys like this, you know, but, you know, I didn't see him work out for scouts or anything like that. So it's kind of like I couldn't even include him in my evaluations. But when the Cowboys took him, I tweeted that I was complimentary of the pick at this range. Why not? I mean, there's no loss. You know, that's something more people need to understand is that, you know, take those risks in the later round. It's no risk. There's hardly any of those guys end up making it anyway. So why not, you know, just go for upside at every turn. I'm always a fan of that in the later rounds. But yeah, so I was excited. Buda Baker, yeah, 6 tackles last night and just a little bit of action. So yeah, I was excited about him. Excited about Reddick. Jadobi Awuzie, he had some up and down play. He almost got a pick six.
I did see that one. Yeah. He jumped that one really well, and he would have had it if his arm didn't bump into the guy. So it was nice for him.
Dallas fans are already saying Taco Charlton's a bust. So
they gotta be first preseason game. You gotta get him out.
Right, somebody's gotta be on blast.
You gotta cut him. Gotta.
I didn't even think he played that bad in the first two drives of the game when I watched. I thought he did some good things. So I'll have to go back and watch the tape, but I definitely want to check out what he did. But I mean, man, they were. He didn't have a pressure, according to PFF, in like seven pass rush snaps. I'm like, who cares? I did see one. He took one step across the line of scrimmage and spun inside right away, which is exactly what he did in college all the time. And he didn't set up his spin counter inside at all. And I was just like, oh, buddy, we're going to have to work on that. But
the only thing worse than heavily evaluating a performance in a preseason game is betting on a preseason game. Yes. I'm shouting out, you degenerates on my timeline about betting on the game. You all need help.
Yeah, no question. 100% agree. Better country, England or Australia?
Oh, Australia, no question.
Wait, have you been to either?
No.
Neither have I.
But, like, one has kangaroos, so.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I need to visit both, hopefully, sometime in my near future because I want to travel. But, yeah, it's hard to say at this point, Justin. I'm sorry. He said to do an accent from both countries. I 100% can't do that, but I don't know if you want to give it a shot.
No, can't do it. Yeah, I can't do it.
They would end up blending and sounding the same to me. That would be insulting.
That's why I was thinking through my head. I was like, you know, I can kind of do it. No, they're going to sound the same, and I'm just going to look like an idiot. I can't. I can't do it. You know what? I'll make it up for them. I won't do it right now, but at some point in future pods, I'll just throw in the accent when I'm talking about somebody.
Yeah.
And you just got to be listening for
that's,
it.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I just can't do back-to-back. You know, that's all. I just can't. You know, it'll be it'll look real insensitive that the culture's involved.
What is the worst question Michael Kist has ever posed to you on Fan Friday? It was probably
the one he asked this week, right?
Yeah, we can't even read it on a freaking family show. Come on, Michael. Jeez. That was probably it, though. I mean, he's had some bad ones. Pretty much, although humorous, most of them are pretty bad, let's be honest.
I mean, I don't know about bad. They're just very niche. You know?
Yeah. When writing scouting reports, how do you draw the line on what is relevant and what is too much information? I think it's always better to include more. I mean, there's obviously, you know, to an extent, but if you're writing about strengths or weaknesses or one of the areas I think you can avoid this or you know, kind of categorizing your thoughts is to do it how we at NDT Scouting do it kind of, and not for the summer reports. Those are just kind of general. But for the draft guides and stuff, if you see Kyle and Joe's, they like break up the sections into player traits that they really value and that they really want to focus on, usually like 10 or so. And then they write brief descriptions about those traits. So instead of just listing strengths and weaknesses, they kind of break it down into the details you should focus on, the most relevant information. But I think it's good to have a lot of information in the reports. I mean, if something ends up being inconsequential, that's fine. It's not like you said it was the most important thing, but always better to have more than less, I say.
Yeah, as long as you're not sticking your head in the sand with somebody, you know, like we were talking about a couple of days ago, you can look at a highlight play from somebody, and as long as you're not like, oh, well, he's great because he can do this. I saw him do it once. And then there's like 5 other plays of evidence where he's bad at whatever you're talking about. As long as you're not sticking your head in the sand about it, then I would say that the more information that you have, the better, because it's just it's a complete product. You know, you have to. And two, I think that the nature of the question is like the person asking this doesn't want to out scout themselves. You know, they don't want to see the important traits that someone has, then maybe watch a bad stretch they have and over-evaluate it. But I think that comes with time put into you as a scout than it does like the player, it happening with a player. You just have to kind of do this long enough to know what might sway your opinion of a guy or who he really is as a prospect and what might just be like a bad stretch of games or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's not the information overload's fault. That just might be like you would hope that you trust your experience in seeing these things more and more. So I guess that would be my answer to that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. What are our respective opinions on Kenny Vaccaro, the Saints safety? You probably see him more than I do, right?
I mean, I haven't watched him a ton when he was in the NFL, but I mean, I've watched him when he's played the Buccaneers, but
yeah,
I've
always
coming out. I liked him too. When he was coming out of Texas. Mm-hmm. He was hyper aggressive, and I love that about a safety who can get it done and who can also be smart and intelligent and anticipate. And I thought that's what Kenny Vaccaro could be. So I loved him as a prospect.
Right. Yeah, I did too. I mean, he's not a single high guy. There's not going to be great ball skills there, or, you know. So he has some limitations, I think. But I think he can match up against bigger slots, and you know, he can definitely work in the box. Comes up, sports the run well. I haven't really studied him per se, like studied him closely, but I've always noticed him in games when I watch the Saints. You know, I've had their fair share of prime times, and so that was what I'd say from watching him, from talking to people who watch him, from just kind of getting the general opinion around him. But I would say that I don't have like a real well formulated stance on Kenny Vaccaro right now. Trying to
cool name,
great name, unique
Kenny Vaccaro. You know?
Trying to stick with the theme of yesterday's pod, which quarterback from the 2017 class went to the best spot and who went to the worst? I think this
Google them and just like list them off. Let's list them all off.
Yeah, this is a good question because what was this year? 2007? Did he say in 2017 or 2016?
Like yeah, this one that just happened.
Yeah, I think that. It's an important thing to think about because if you remember last year, like what if Dak went to the Rams? Maybe they were better than Goff for sure. But I still think that he's not offensive rookie, you know, anything.
Oh
like that.
My God. No, not even close. No.
Right. And so that, no, this was super important. Silly. Yeah. I would have to say, you know, we'll start with Mitch Trubisky. To me, this was the scariest thing about Mitch Trubisky. I thought he went to not only an environment that I wasn't sure about structure, like schematically, and not that it would be a fit for him, but that they would all, you know, he has no weapons in the passing game. He does have a good offensive line when they're healthy in some spots, although the tackles can be suspect. Obviously, he's a good back, so you look at fell personnel, and I didn't think that it was great there. You know, I think that Kevin White, if he can prove himself, maybe there's some upside with the group, but he's played 4 games in 2 years and just can't seem to stay healthy. And now he's behind the eight ball in terms of development, probably as a guy who was a little bit raw coming out. And then if you look at the coaching staff, I mean, Fox, I mean, there's been talked about him potentially being on the hot seat, you know, since basically the draft. So he goes through a situation where he could lose his head coach, his OC, that structure and the people who, you know, generally wanted him and believed in him in the draft for someone who may not be a fan or, you know, just uncertainty moving forward. So I think when Trubisky went to Chicago and I wrote about this, actually, I was just like, you know, this again, Trubisky was a guy. And how many times did I say it on our show pre-draft? I said, Trubisky has to end up in a, like, if he does, he could be really good, but he, you know, 1 year as a starter, he was inexperienced at seeing things pre and post snap and adjustments. The NFL is going to throw a lot of things at him, blitzes. How he handles all that remains to be seen. I think he has great tools. I think at times he flashed the ability to really think and move through his progressions really well. There's a lot to work with that I really liked about Trubisky. I thought he had fringe first round talent, but from an actual execution standpoint, there were some mental things and some hiccups that you would expect that are completely normal for an inexperienced player, but that a coaching staff better be ready to handle. And I just don't know if Chicago's going to be able to do that at this point. So I was kind of worried about Trubisky's landing spot, to be honest.
Yeah, just supporting cast. And I guess that kind of brings it to, I think Mahomes and Watson are the two guys at the top and for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, Mahomes getting Andy Reid is awesome.
Right.
You know, we all kind of either wanted him to go to the Chiefs or just as like fans of the prospects, you know, mm-hmm. getting the most out of them. It was either Kansas City or Arizona that we kind of wanted to see Patrick Mahomes go to, and he went to one of those teams. So that's, I think that's a great spot for him, getting him with Andy Reid. Although Deshaun Watson going to Houston, I loved, because this is already a number one defense in the NFL, and they have players like Nuke Hopkins, Will Fuller. I know he got hurt, but at the time, you know, Braxton Miller. They have Lamar Miller. I feel like this team was like a quarterback away from, like, legitimately contending. You know, I know Houston's made the playoffs, but they've kind of gimped into the playoffs against the postseason teams once you saw that, oh, wow, they can't put up any points. And so Deshaun Watson is the QB1, a guy who's played great in the biggest games of his life the last 2 years. I think Watson's probably in the best spot just for that reason, because he has such a good supporting cast around him, including a defense. You get Watson to play in some pretty meaningful games early on, and we've all seen how Watson plays in meaningful games.
So. Right. And he's got a quarterback-minded guy. You know, Patrick Mahomes is a quarterback-minded guy. We saw that made a huge difference. I think Carson Wentz had the best in terms of being taught to actually play the quarterback position at a high level. I think he had a great cast. Now, schematically, I think Philly needed to alter some things as the season went on. I thought that personnel-wise, he obviously didn't have great weapons. The offensive line got banged up. They didn't have a running game. Things kind of crumbled around him. But from a pure, you know, coach's standpoint of helping him play the game at a better level as a quarterback, I thought he landed in a really great spot. And then Dak Prescott kind of had the whole thing when he went to, you know, a former quarterback as his head coach. When he went to Dallas, he obviously, you know, had a little bit of everything and the best rushing attack in the NFL as well. So, you know, that I think that Watson is kind of in a similar situation in that the coaching around him, I think, is going to be very good. And he's going to be able to absorb and pick up knowledge very quickly. The weapons in the passing game are really good. But, I think, you know, Lamar Miller was one of the worst backs after contact in the league last year. And I think that he's going to need to, at some point, create more in the rushing game if Houston's going to be able to reach their peak offensively. But in his offensive line, you know, Watson's offensive line isn't elite either. But I think all things considered for a rookie, you know, most of these quarterbacks, if you're a quarterback getting taken in the first round, you're usually going to a team that struggles. So when you consider all the things Watson has going for him, that's certainly a plus in Mahomes as well, because those teams traded up from the back end of the draft to get these guys. And so, I'm excited about that. I also think DeShone Kizer with Hugh Jackson, a coach that can build him up, that knows when to be tough with him, but that can work on his confidence level and, you know, things that Brian Kelly really just kind of destroyed at Notre Dame. And was really inconsiderate of. I think Hugh Jackson is a really good head coach and will consider all those things. So I think he's in a great fit. I think Nathan Peterman's in a really good fit, even though I don't think his ceiling's very high. But for an offense that does a lot of things similar to what he did at Pitt, you know, they picked up a guy that really fits what they're doing well. So I think, you know, all those guys are in pretty good fits, to be honest. I don't have a lot of complaints. The only one I really worry about is Trubisky, to be honest, out of the guys that really matter. And then, of course, Chad Kelly. And, you know, that's best quarterback in Denver already, so.
Yeah, no, obviously.
Obviously, yes. A great fit there. Do you guys happen to know of a better, simpler way to buy tickets? Why, yes, we do, actually. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. I can vouch for it, firsthand experience. It is the easiest way to buy and to get these tickets, and organizes the information for you as well. So big fan of what SeatGeek offers. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. $20 off. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL, no spaces, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Make sure you all check that out. Why doesn't Trevor watch more USF? Because he was way too surprised when Rodney Adams went in the fifth. USF puts guys in late rounds every year. Bro, you get called out for not watching South Florida because you were surprised, what, 5 months ago when Rodney Adams went in the fifth?
Well, I mean, random. South Florida is where I'm from. You know, like, this is Tampa. South Florida is Tampa. So I understand that person's probably from Tampa. But, like, Marlon Mack and Adams went in the same round.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Were you even surprised that Rodney Adams won the fifth? I don't remember you being surprised.
Yes!
Wow.
Rodney Adams should have been undrafted.
Oh, wow. I mean, honestly, I didn't really even watch him, so.
And, like, if he you know, makes the roster and does well, like, you know, I'd suck. I don't know.
Minnesota people are hyped about him. Oh, my God.
Like Rodney Adams is a pure speed guy who is, like, rail thin.
Yeah,
and
he is rail thin.
It's like... I just can't believe. Okay, the reason why I was shocked is because, like, what I just said. There, if you watch any USF game, and you told me that the guy carrying the ball was going to go in the same round as Rodney Adams, the guy catching it, or sometimes not catching it, I would have told you you're out of your mind. And here we are. I'm getting asked this question because of that.
Now so I wish I had watched Rodney Adams more because. I felt like I would want to go out and say, like, I make a bold, you know, Rodney Adams will be better than Marlon Mack.
Tell me he's making the team. Tell me.
He's
Do
making it.
Do it.
Wait there a minute. Let me look at this.
No, he said
this depth chart.
He said it. The listeners heard it.
He's
you
making
said
it.
He's making the team.
He's making it. He's got to make
go
it, right? You don't
Bulls.
Think he's making it?
He's on the Vikings, right?
Yeah. Thielen, Diggs, Treadwell. Michael Floyd ain't making it, right? Why hasn't he been cut already? Jairus Wright, who's after that? He's making it.
He's not making the team.
How is he not making it? Look at the
What are they going to keep? Are they going to keep 7 wide receivers?
No, 5. They're going to cut Michael Floyd. Treadwell, Thielen, Diggs, and Jairus Wright make it. And then that's 4. And then they're going to cut Michael Floyd because...
Who are the other guys?
Stacy Coley in the 7th round they took him.
Dude!
Some
Dude.
Undrafted guy. I like Stacy Coley, actually, but he's in his own
Stacy
head.
Stacy Coley's way better than Rodney Adams.
Maybe. He didn't finish, like, ever in college. He left so many plays in the field. He was so frustrating to watch.
Against FSU, I'll tell you that. Like,
well,
every game.
He what?
He Like, whenever they played FSU, like, Stacy Coley went off, I feel.
Yeah. He does have more ability than Rodney. I mean, with only seeing a little bit of Rodney Adams. Caleb Jones, he went undrafted. Okay. Isaac Frute, I don't even know who that is. Moritz Boehringer, the 2016 sixth round pick from what was it, Germany? I forget. And RJ Shelton, another undrafted guy. So he's making it, man. He's making it over Michael Floyd and Stacy Coley.
There's no way they're taking Rodney Adams over.
Michael Floyd's already suspended the first 4 games.
Who is?
Michael Floyd.
Yeah,
Zimmer
but if,
ain't
okay,
have
then
that.
Why wouldn't they have cut him already?
He's wide receiver 5. They need him to take those reps. They don't have anybody else. These guys can't even line up right.
So you're telling me a guy who can't even line up right is going to make the team?
No, other than Adams. I'm not including
Get
Adams
Get out of here.
He's making it. We're going to establish a friendly
USF,
wager
USF
on this.
USF fans are going to be so mad at me because I'm saying this.
Oh,
I don't actually hate Rodney Adams.
I can't believe this guy like remembered – your reaction to Rodney Adams going in the fifth from, what, May? Early May?
Hey, I
And we haven't talked about Rodney Adams at all.
When you make a correct take, people remember because they're not happy about it.
Sticks with people. Is there a player in the league that you think could be a star if they were in a different system team? Gosh.
Yeah, so, like a million. Let me try to think.
Not
though.
A million, but... A star, dude, like a legitimate star. Oh my gosh. I'm sure that there is, but
we should have thought about this question.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure. I will say this. I honestly think
Christian Hackenberg. Just kidding.
And I'm not even saying this because he just played well last night, but I really think Rico Gaithers could be really good. He's so big and physical, and you know, he has a lot of traits that, you know, a lot of those, oh, basketball, they could, you know, they play basketball, they can be good. But even when I watched him play basketball, I'm a big college basketball fan. I watched him there. I just thought this guy could be a tight end in the league someday, like, because he had the mentality too, not only, you know, the athletic ability, but he had the mentality, and man, he did some nice things last night. I'm really excited to see what he can become, because I think he could potentially be a guy down the road that's a starting tight end in the NFL.
Rams fans might hate me, but like Tavon Austin and Todd Gurley. I know Todd Gurley is kind of already a star, but he was awful last year.
Oh yeah, and I didn't realize it said team too. Yeah, different team. Yeah, go Gurley for sure.
I feel like you know. I think other, if Gurley and Austin were on the majority of other NFL teams, they would be better players.
I think that Devontae Parker was a guy that, and especially now if Tannehill's hurt, you know, they're going to probably have another year going to waste over there. He has crazy downfield ability. If he were in like a downfield passing attack team like Tampa Bay or like Arizona or like Pittsburgh, I think
reunited with Teddy.
I think he would be in the conversation of the same caliber, different type of wide receiver, but similar caliber wide
receiver.
Trade
Rodney Adams straight up
to
Amari
Cooper. I just compared Parker and Cooper and where they would be right now in the NFL if Parker were in a different team, and you just blew it up. I don't know. I really think that though.
Well, that take is wrong. Okay. That take is wrong.
I know people are gonna really hate me for that take. I have some Amari Cooper takes that people do not want to hear for sure.
Oh, don't tell them to me today.
Listen, I like him, but
I want to have a good weekend, John. Don't you dare talk bad about Amari Cooper to me now.
All right. No negativity.
Bring it up on a Monday where I can be fully mad online.
100%. Monday, Amari Cooper charge talk. Get ready because the takes will fly. Any chance the Chiefs take a call from Miami about Alex Smith? I would, man. Like, when is Alex Smith ever going to be more profitable in terms of return on investment than he is now? And you know he's not getting you to the playoffs.
What are they going
to
get for him, though?
You got to tell. If Sam Bradford fetches a first,
well, that Smith was stupid.
It was stupid, but a lot of teams would do it for a quarterback. Miami thinks they can win right now. Gase is the kind of guy that would shell out anything for Alex Smith. I think they can get a first for him. I think they could get a first for him.
I don't know.
I wouldn't do it, but I think they could. He's similar to he's not much worse than Bradford. Maybe like. What do you say? If you're
when
ranking
you said,
all the quarterbacks
right there,
in the league.
When you stopped yourself mid-sentence, when you said, he's not that much worse than Brett. I thought you were going to say Brady, and I was about to hang up. I was about to hang up.
I would have hung up on myself. But, I mean, Alex Smith's 33. That's one thing to think. Because Sam Bradford was how old when they...
He is handsome. Alex Smith is handsome.
He is handsome. So, not really pertinent information, but...
He would fit in Miami.
Good point. Sam Bradford, not quite as hashtag handsome, but, and he'll be 30, okay, in November. But when they traded for him, he was, 28? So he's 29 right now. Be 30 in November. So maybe not a first. I don't know. I feel like desperation.
They could fetch a second for him.
Because Alex Smith's the kind of guy that could come in, pick up your offense quickly, execute it quickly. I think they could get him, but
Alex Smith is Jarvis Landry's like dream though, because it's just 5-yard passes all the time, and so if
that's
Alex
a great
Smith
point
gets, and I love Jarvis Landry like with all my heart.
Well, he just does what the team asks him to do,
right? Yeah. Or what he's always So like if Alex Smith, if this happens and Alex Smith gets traded to Miami, sell the farm to get Landry in PPR.
Landry's gonna have like 200 catches. It's very true. And Landry does win vertically down the field. I'd like to say that when he's asked to do that. You know, there was a wheel post against Pittsburgh, and he made some great, great leap and catch down the field. And I was watching his tape for an article, and he makes a ton of plays down the field. He just doesn't get many targets in that area.
At one point when scouting him and OBJ out of LSU, I thought Jarvis Landry was better. I was wrong.
Right.
But
he's very good.
Yeah.
Who has a better game, Geis at Bama or Barkley at OSU also which team has a better chance to make the college football playoffs, Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State?
Ohio State.
No, Penn State.
Yes.
Uh-huh. 100%.
No.
Okay, Ohio State is to replace their whole secondary, Raekwon McMillan. With five stars, but they haven't played. Their interior defensive line, these guys aren't built like Bama's guys. They're not going to be able to match size and strength. OSU's going to get run on this season. Watch, they're lean down the middle. They're going to get run on this season. Penn State's going to have their way with them up front. I think Penn State's the most likely team to make college football playoff.
Man.
I think Ohio State, they could win. They could lose. I got to look at their schedule. But I might
We should answer this question like yes. College football previews.
Yeah,
we do that.
We'll start with the Big Ten on Monday, and we'll answer this question. Do draft Knicks ever care about the position school guys go to? Wisconsin running back, USC wide receiver, Clemson DN, Bama running back, Nebraska quarterback.
The answer is yes.
Oh, do they care or should they care?
Yeah, right. No, it's do they care.
Yeah, they do care, and they do talk about it for some reason, but it's absolutely makes no difference. I mean, if only thing you should care about is evaluating the individual player on tape. Now, if Alabama running backs have a tendency to all do the same thing, that's fine, but if that player has to show you that they do it on tape. It can't just be decided that he does something because two other guys that played at Bama did it. Like, that's
here's the thing with that, though.
Stupid.
Coaching. Coaching is the thing. You don't lump for example, like when you go, oh well, Alabama players get hurt, like Alabama running backs get hurt all the time. Okay, well, that's stupid, like, right, for you to say that.
Yeah, that makes no difference.
But if you look at, like, let's say Clemson and go, man, Clemson's D-line has been great lately, you know, their edge, their interior, you look at their defensive line coach and it's the same guy, then you know you're getting probably a good product and a well-coached product from right. the NFL. So in that sense, like, same coach, like a guy who's been coaching these kids and mm-hmm. they've been producing great NFL products, that's a thing. Like, you can not you don't say that, like, entirely about a scout. Like you said, everybody's individual. But that's part of what you could go, like, oh, yeah, hey, he was taught by this guy. But, you know, so that's,
yeah.
I think that there, you can put that in there. And I think the problem with people is that they take a truth like that or something like that and don't realize what they're saying and then just, like, try to lump everybody in, you know?
Right.
So that's my take there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just lazy. It's just there's no logic to the fact that because one player busts another player who is a different player. Now, that doesn't to say that players from the same school ever don't have the similar characteristics, you know, but like USC quarterbacks for a while, you know, they were having some guys that didn't live up to expectations. They may have had similar characteristics that caused them to fail, but you have to find that in the tape. I'm not saying it's never there. I'm just saying that if you don't find that in the evaluation of that individual player, you can't just say, oh, but I'm afraid they'll bust because of the school they went to and this guy busted from the same school. It just doesn't make any sense. It's completely not logical in any way. You know, if I've literally had fans countless times every year in the draft say to me, I like this player, yada, yada, I like what they did here, but man, Clemson DNs, they worry me, or man, Bama running backs, you're always worried. You know, it's silly. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, just look at what they do on the tape and what they do in testing and decide from there. There we go. That's Fan Friday in a nutshell. We'll be back next week. We got Big Ten starting on Monday. We're going to do college football previews. We'll roll through those. Excited to talk about those. There will be some wagers and some takes laid down because I have thoughts that are only semi-educated because I'm not quite as into college football as I am in the NFL, although I feel like my knowledge base is stronger this year than ever before because I've watched so much college football this offseason for these draft guys. But I'm going to have like semi-educated, like 75% educated takes, which are always the best takes. They're always the hottest. They're all, you know, there's going to be some wild things said that you guys are probably going to block me on Twitter for. And that's what it's all about, honestly. Right?
I will.
Yeah. I mean, Trevor definitely will for sure. I'm really excited to get the SEC so I can just kind of shred Florida and see your reaction. That's probably what I'm most looking forward to next week.
Until then,
keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are a mighty fortress of supreme knowledge. Progressive Direct has not only revealed their rates, but those of their competitors. If you were any more in the know, you would be drowning in, you know, the know.
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates because knowledge is power. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.